この街を生きていく術なんだ。
Hello everyone, welcome back to Captain Earth. This is episode 14, A Maiden's Tear That Sparkled Through the Night. And I'm joined with Jero.
Hello.
And Skylion.
Heyo.
And yeah, this episode is basically kind of a Hana-themed episode. Been getting a lot of these lately, I think. out of you know, Akari and Hana, I think Hana gets more focus lately, but yeah.
Grr.
Yeah, and that makes me mad too. I don't really like Hana. I think the general consent on her character is no one really likes her.
Yeah. Well,
there hasn't been much to like. She's been more or less a cipher character. You know, is she there for fan service? No, not really. Sometimes, maybe, yes. But, you know, I mean, not really, you know, very plot dependent until now.
Yeah. Pits have been more important than her to this point.
Yeah, that's true.
That's really why she felt it necessary to show her final form. You know, I've been at stage by a blue squirrel.
Yeah,
that squirrel got there.
The squirrel
dropped my stuff.
Higher on the call sheet.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's almost like they could have easily cut her out easily and just had the squirrel, like do the QBA thing where he talks to your straight to your mind. They could have done that easily, but it feels like Hana was kind of tacked on at the end. Like, oh, we need someone to go with the main guy. I'll give him this.
Delicious.
But anyway,
girl.
I mean, we get it kind of a beach episode, but that's like only like one scene, so it doesn't really count, in my opinion.
It's not.
Yeah. But at the beginning, after the beach stuff, we had Kyubey. He's kind of, I guess he's getting more irritated with Mocha and Emra, what they've been doing. He's gets so to the point where he's just like, you know, kind of scolding them, tell them not to do it again. And, you know, Mocha doesn't really, you can tell on her face she doesn't really like that at all. either is Amrak. It's like, these two, they're older than him, so they feel like they've been talked down to.
Yeah, for this episode, it kind of seems like we're kind of hitting the end of Kubei's part of the story, potentially, and I'm trying to figure out, other than being the son of the guy, what's his worth?
Right, yeah, I hear that too.
I think in the story, he kind of, at this point, and this is just me venturing a guess, he kind of served as that, you know, this guy is evil, but a really nasty AI has been more or less pulling his strings from the very beginning. And it's quite potentially even more evil. So it's like, man, you should have stuck with the human rather than the AI.
Hmm. Yeah, because there's a scene where he's got that trigger, like he can blow Puck up whoever he wants. And he's like, you know, kind of threatening him, like, you know, are you sure you're telling the truth? And Puck's like, yeah, I'm not lying to you. Hmm. But we all know that's the other way around. Puck is lying, 100%. But it's like Skyline said. And he's pulling the strings for everything. But yeah, Kyubey is getting, like, kind of like Jero said, it's probably the end of his run, getting close. Because, like, at this point, Mocha and Amrod really don't need him anymore. They have their team. So it's like, they don't really need you anymore. So they can, I see them pretty much, you know, leaving or backstabbing him pretty soon.
Yeah, and he admonishes them of the fact that, hey, this research and development department, that's not your toy. It's not your toy at all. But the people at the research and development department are like, hey, you play. Keep on playing. We like this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, the one thing he had against them, you know, hey, quit stop using this research and development department as your own personal playground. He doesn't have. They're more than happy to go along with it behind his back.
Yeah, they're going to keep doing that. They don't really care. And, you know, on the flip side, we have Daichi and the team. They're basically kind of kicking back and relaxing on this, I guess, this kind of break for them, which is kind of ironic. I think they've had a break for a long time, you know, here and there. I think they make a point to Akari that, you know, you've been on vacation every day.
Maybe that's probably really her ulterior motive. It's just, hey, you know, we've got a government organization more or less foot in the bill. Let's have some fun.
Right, and they do.
Instead of going completely insane.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then they kind of rent these hotel rooms, and I kind of saw it coming. Obviously, the guys and girls split off in their own little rooms together, and Daichi and Hana together, of course.
Connecting rooms?
Right. It's like, come on, you saw that setup coming a mile away.
Without even a privacy door.
Yeah. And it seems like Akari's pushing that pairing a lot lately. So
connecting rooms.
Yeah,
she is. She's actively shipping. She's that kind of girl. You know, with that connecting room, I kept on expecting to see Yui and Azinon come in at one point.
Yeah, same here. Might as well. And actually, while we have that, the pairing stuff, there's something going on with Hana. She starts changing quickly after these scenes where she's, I guess, sitting beside Daichi's bed crying. It's like, okay, what's going on?
That was just weird, because mixed signals much, girl? I mean, you at least got to be able to read the room enough to know that you're just really confusing this poor guy.
Right, and there's even a moment when he's like, he leans in for the kiss, and she's just like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
She's like, 1 second, I want to kill you. I love you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, can you...
Yeah.
So is this going to be a praying mantis relationship? I'd like the play sheet before we begin, you know?
Yeah. And Daichi was just riding whatever wave she was on. Just like, you want to kill me? What? But I love you. I'm going to go for a kiss. No.
And denied.
Denied.
Because, Daichi and Hana, yeah, that thing's just weird. But Akari and Tepe are talking about the kissing parts. And they're like, yeah, you share memories. So I'm wondering, what memory from Daichi's past is Hana accessing? Is she accessing when his dad died? So, because, Daichi, that's really the only traumatic point I could see in his life being, like, you know, a sad thing. Or does she know the future by kissing him? Like, oh, he's going to react this way if I tell him who I really am. That's what I can see.
The interesting point I got out of that is that telepathy kind of works both ways, even in the case of when Moko kissed Akari, that she kind of felt it a little bit. Whereas with what we've seen with the planetary gears is that the idea is to completely bring them back to their original personality.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Like the latter two, we have seen them, like, they don't really change as much as like Redhead, who completely changed his personality. So yeah, it's kind of weird what Hana is. She's probably the mystery right now for me. And while we have that, you know, obviously Moke and them, we have to do something this week since there's no mech attack. They decide to drop a satellite on, I guess the Alan. And it's like, okay, you guys are competing with Alno Zero here.
Yeah.
Same week.
Exactly. Yeah, satellite drop Saturday, baby.
I can think of Gundam, because they're like the originators who did that, like the dropping. Yeah,
the colony drops.
Yeah, colony drop.
Yeah. Well, even Yoda did a colony drop at one point.
True. So, yeah, that's their last, ditch effort. And I guess it even upsets Cubase. It's like, he's freaking out, because it's like, I guess if it hits the Earth, it's going to, I guess, kill a bunch of people. Even Cubase and people at Globe.
I'm sorry, something that it has the Kivoto's plan in there.
Right, that too. So it's like, you guys are kind of screwing yourselves, the planetary gears. It's kind of funny. But yeah, so everyone's freaking out. They don't know how to destroy it. There's no time to stop it because the mechs are still needing repair. So everyone's kind of in panic mode. And they're starting to think, oh, well, this is the end of our lives. So yeah. Basically, I think it feels like they kind of gave up. Like, there's no way to stop it. So
yeah, there was only about 3 minutes of time, and you couldn't evacuate all those people by then.
Yeah, I also wonder if it's the same amount of time that it takes for the planetary gear to transform. Like, is it the same time?
Three minutes. 3 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yeah, that'd be kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But to everyone's surprise, it's like, you know, Hana is, she's remaining calm in all this. And you get a shot of her outside, like, pointing to the sky, calling the shot, basically. And the bloom attack she uses is basically a giant laser beam, just one shots the satellite, and everyone's kind of like freaking out, like, oh my god, it's the bloom. Like, I think three people mentioned it, Cubase, Globe, and someone else. And I think Amara and Moko, like, oh, the princess, she's dead, like, now.
Huh? We're just like, the what? The what now? The bloom, huh?
Yeah, they're all of a sudden, like, it's kind of funny reaction, but yeah, it's like, Hana can do that. That's kind of weird. I never knew she could do something like this.
It makes me wonder if they have some larger backstory about the planetary gears kind of moving forward. If Hana maybe, like, you know, they're an advanced race, and so advanced races go through stages. If she might be a previous stage that, you know, was more powerful but unsustainable on a certain level or something like that.
Yeah, because in the beginning they mentioned that, you know, Hana was created to fire the Live Blister. So she might be a mix of, like, different races put together, alien races. Give her more power than... Because, I don't know, my theory on her still is that she is technically evil. And because I mean, she arrived on Earth in the crystal, and they always show the crystal on the moon. So I'm thinking she hit the moon with the crystal, killed those people, and then wound up on Earth. But the memory loss thing is a little awkward. It's like, how does that play into her story?
So it's very traumatic, destroying the moon.
Right. I mean, she killed a bunch of... If that's true, then she killed a lot of people on the moon. Which kind of leads to Daichi's dad getting killed and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it would make sense.
So not necessarily evil, but an incredibly awkward backstory.
Yeah, it's kind of weird with her. I'm not sure what they're doing. But what did you guys think of the whole episode?
You know, now that we're kind of past the whole planetary gears thing, it was kind of interesting with the whole satellite drop thing. And for Hana to finally have some relevance to the plot. And while it doesn't exactly answer some of the questions that we had about her, it kind of brings them back to the forefront after setting them on the side for a while. So I did like that about this episode. Not too big on the interactions between Hana and Daichi this week, especially in the bedroom, as we talked about. It sounds kind of weird to say, but elsewise, a decent episode.
I have a tendency to agree with that. Yeah, with J-Ro, it was you know, I think it was meant to be an uncomfortable scene in the bedroom, but above and beyond that, you know, how well they executed that to making you feel that it was actually a genuine part of the story is up to interpretation. But it was nice to see they could get away from the whole planetary gear of the week thing and actually start to build up a larger, broader story. They ask more questions than they provide answers, but that's always good for a continuing show.
Right, yeah, they got to give you some kind of something to chew on while you wait for the next episode.
Mm-hmm. And knowing Bones and their stories, we won't be getting those answers until, like, episode 24, 25.
I was thinking, like, a second or third movie, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Happened.
That's true. Yeah, I agree with all you guys' comments on Daichi and Hana. You know, they're not really that interesting, but at the same time, it's like, I want to know what happens to her. You know, it's like, I rag on her all the time, but it's like, there's some parts of her that I'm curious about, you know, the why she's so quiet and the way she acts, and because she acts like she's so foreign to everything, like even communicating with people, it's like I think there's more to her than she's letting on right now, and I think next week we're gonna learn more because I think it's called like The Truth or something, title of the episode, so maybe we'll discover what actually is going on with her and stuff like that, but. For extra stuff, you know, the swimsuit stuff, like I said, hey, that Hana, you know, in the same suit, and all the guys were kind of like, whoa, staring at her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the same swimsuit as the previous pool trip, but this time she wasn't just sitting down, she was in the beach and swimming and then walking and just strutting.
Yeah, and then the car jumps up, she's like, no, don't look at her, but she's wearing the same suit, I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
And the other thing I mentioned, you know, Hana Daichi is strong this week, but a lot of people don't like it. I'm kind of one of those people who don't really like that pairing. But it's like, really, who else would they put him with? I couldn't see him with Akari. That is good. And to mention that, you know, this week we had a new opening by, you know, Nico Touches the Walls. Really good. I like that opening.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, both of these songs are. I certainly like this new ending over the previous one. I always skipped that one, but with the opening, I'm used to Nico doing some more sort of rockin' tunes, and in this one, especially compared to Believer's High, it feels a little more, I don't think subdued is the right word, but just kind of feels more mellow than the previous opening.
Yeah, I'd agree on that.
Yeah, that original OP had a lot of punch to it. It was very one of those, rise up, watch the show, which all OPs have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Similar to all the Bones openings are kind of like that. They have a trend like that. And, yeah, I think it's one that needs kind of need to hear the full version to get to actually appreciate the song.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, same with the ending, you know, new ending, Supercell, Rio, they're always hit or miss for most people. I know how he's not a big fan. of them at all.
But yeah, well, he's not here right now, so he can say bad things about his taste. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, they did Black Bolt, and I love that ending. So it's like, yeah, But yeah, this new one's, I think, the same with the opening. You need to hear the full version to, you know, hear the whole song, I guess.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll be in a few weeks.
Right, yeah. So yeah, I think that's the episode. Yes. See you guys next for 15.
なぜか消えてしまう。どうしたんだ。